Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I'm welcoming back a friend of mine, Melanie Benson-Strick. She's been here before. She has given us some great information. Be sure to go back into Blog Talk Radio and iTunes and look for those previous interviews. They're very, very helpful. So Melanie is known as America's leading small business optimizer, and she has a gift for guiding fast-paced, overwhelmed, I'm pointing at myself, driven entrepreneurs to thrive. Did you catch that pause? I was going, Driven entrepreneurs to thrive in their small businesses. And with over 13 years mentoring thought leaders and creative entrepreneurs, Melanie is a revenue strategist. I took her course. We'll talk about that later on, and it's really a great course. But she helps you uncover costly breakdowns and derailers. And I know that's not really a word, but I love it, derailers. Well, energizing your profits and ultimately freeing the entrepreneur, you, me, to do more of what we do best. Just as an aside, Melanie has been on faculty with Stomper.net. No, it's not right, is it, Melanie?
Stomper.net.
Yeah, as their delegation expert, she has spoken on stages across the globe, is co-author of Entrepreneurs.com Startup Guide to Starting an Information Marketing Business, and has her success tips featured in magazines such as American Express Open Forum, Women's Day Parenting Magazine, University of Phoenix Alumni Magazine, and the LA Times. And Melanie is also a proud lifestyle enthusiast and spends her free time in search of the best spas and beaches in the world. I follow her on Facebook. I watch where she's going. I am big time jealous, but we're still friends.
Melanie, I got another one coming jealous. Up soon. I can't wait.
Oh. Welcome
I promise
back
not
to
the brag
show.
Too much.
Yeah, you
Thanks
really
for having
have
me
to.
Back. Yeah, and it's funny you said derailers isn't a word. I realize I make up words all the time, and yeah. Sometimes they're really, like, they make a lot of sense. And
I know.
People are like, what?
Oh, listen, I live in the Deep South. We do that all the time, and people say, what? Oh, that makes sense. But yes, it does. So, it's not tech speak. It's not, you know, what do you call it, LinkedIn, not LinkedIn, Twitter speak. We actually do make sense with our new words. So anyway, before I have a ton of questions for you because we have a specific topic that we're going to be covering today, which I think is so, so important. But before we get on to that topic, can you tell people where to find you and a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, the best place to find me is at successconnections.com. You can pretty much find anything you need. We have lots of great free resources there. I'm really active on Facebook at facebook.com/MelCoach. That is my business page, and I share tons of great tips there and all kinds of great resources and strategies and, you know, motivational insights for entrepreneurs and business owners. And I'm also really active on Twitter with MelCoach and Google+, which is the new social media engagement place that I'm finding it to be really fun. And just a little bit about me. You know, I've been in this business for almost 14 years now. It seems crazy that it's been that long. And I came out of Fortune 500 background, and my great learning out of the Fortune 500 world was, first of all, that I am not suited to be employed by someone else. But
that's why we're
friends
right there.
Exactly. It's like each other, right?
Yeah.
I'm just not employable. And part of it is because I'm very innovative, I'm very creative, I play outside the box, but I'm also very results-driven and very focused. And when I know how to get something done, I want to do it all the time. And I found that I was always being pulled in a lot of different directions there. And one of the things that I got really passionate about that I saw that I had great talent for was how to leverage the power of other people, systems, procedures, and what many entrepreneurs might think of more of that left brain, tactical, strategical side, And then blending it with the creativity and the innovativeness and the vision and all of the spark that entrepreneurs have, and knowing how to bring those two worlds together to help entrepreneurs and business owners get faster results, to be able to channel their energies well, but also to create predictable, consistent, sustainable results for their business. And I've walked the gamut between flailing and failing and really knowing how to put things together in a systematic way and really automate the ability to get a certain level of six or seven figure results. And when I learned a lot of those techniques and secrets, I found that my life was easier, my sanity improved, you know, my peace of mind was a lot better, and I actually could enjoy my life and have a lifestyle where I could travel and do more things. And without them, I felt erratic, I was very reactive, I was panicked all the time. And to be quite frank, it wasn't as enjoyable because I never knew when money was coming in. And I didn't like that part of business.
Right.
So I kind of made a big process for myself, a whole commitment to do it in a way that I can have a lot more predictability and proactiveness.
Melanie, what was the tipping point for you? I mean, you know, you are describing, honestly, my life at some point. And here's the thing, we all kind
of
slide
people,
back
yeah.
into that if we're not careful.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm watching people in my Facebook VA group, and same thing. We're all so busy, and we're all so scattered, and we're all, okay, we've got to pay the bills, we've got to find clients, we've got to, and, you know, there comes a point where your panic is almost like your best friend, and that's not a good thing. So
yeah.
What was your tipping
point?
What made you say, I'm not doing this anymore?
Yeah.
It's not working.
Well, it's interesting. There's a couple of pieces in that, and I always go back to mindset. You know, many of us focus on marketing, we focus on strategy, and we put a lot of emphasis on the doing side of it, which is very important. But I always say strategy without the proper mindset is just going to create a lot of busyness with no results. And the mindset shift, there's kind of two pieces to it. And one happened because this was pretty early on. This was about 18 months in, and I realized that I was working so many hours.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was probably average 60 to 80, maybe even more hours a week. And I was doing that so that I could make money. And it dawned on me that this was not something I could sustain, that this was not producing results.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I was busy all the time, and what did I have to show for it? And it was actually a pretty humbling, very scary moment in time when I realized how much energy, how much time, how much money was going out, and how little results were coming back. And the pivotal thought process, the thinking that shifted there, was I said, there's got to be a better way. And you know in your head that you're ready for the kind of dramatic and almost too simple for most of us to comprehend shift when you realize you're asking yourself, there's got to be a better way. How am I ever going to keep up with this? This is not working. And in that moment, I went back to a time when I said, what was it that made me so successful before? Because when I worked in corporate America, I won awards. I was very well known. I got put on all kinds of special projects. You know, I was moved around a lot because I had a very special talent of being able to inspire and motivate other people to get things done in record time. And I did it in such a systematic and automated way that I had this ability to translate ideas and projects and things into a systematic way to get a result. And part of that went out the window when I started my business, almost like I had amnesia about the things that I did the best, and I forgot to use this technique. And it wasn't perfected for the entrepreneurial market, but when I realized that I was missing the leverage in my approach to getting things done, I took a step back and I looked at all the places in my business where I could activate more leverage. And the idea of leverage is you put a tiny bit of effort in to get a massive result back. And there's all kinds of leverage points that I go through with my clients and when I'm working with them in some kind of coaching relationship where we look at the leverage point of your time, we look at the leverage point of your energy, we look at the leverage point of being able to expand what gets done because you have a system or you have a way to automate that activity or you get it off your plate and give it to someone else. There's even the leverage of how are you leveraging your ability to generate profit and income for your business. The single greatest reason why entrepreneurs struggle is they don't know how to monetize their offerings in a way that positions them to have the time to invest in and pursue bigger opportunities. That was the significant second aha, was I needed a better business model.
So I have to ask, if you were so successful in corporate America and you moved around a lot, what was it that when you went out on your own and you decided to be the entrepreneur that you clearly were meant to be, what was it that caused you to lose sight of those systems that you had created? Was it because it was such a different environment?
You know, and I think it was. I think there's probably two pieces of it, Denise. One is, you know, when you get into being an entrepreneur, there's a lot of new things you have to learn. I was learning a new craft. So it was translating all of my background as being, I ran multi-million-dollar events for our state and local government clients, and I was project managing really huge technology systems. And even though all of that was how do you achieve a goal and reverse engineer approach to get there, it was such a different environment that I had a hard time translating my new skills of being a coach and learning how to extract brilliance from people and helping them achieve their goals and bringing forward those talents and skills. And what happened was I felt so out of sorts and so disconnected for those first 18 months. I thought, you know, what was different about before? And I realized that I had kind of abandoned some of the practices there. And I also realized that very few of my peers and my clients knew how to do that. And I kept seeing the fundamental same challenges: overwhelm, lack of any kind of plan, and this in-the-moment reactive approach to getting things done. And I realized, like, it actually doesn't have to be that way, but most entrepreneurs are born from this really deep desire to bring their creativity out to the world, their passions, and the things that they're most excited about. They found something that works, and they want to get it out in a big way. But they didn't necessarily have the education or the ability to structure that passion in a way that could get results. So there was a lot of flailing and working all hours of the night to get more stuff done, when really, if you focus on the right things at the right time with the right strategy, you will catapult forward in a very short period of time.
And that's what I was asking you, because I've been there, done that. And the God's honest truth is I continue to backslide every now and then. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Does that happen, or is it just I'm special and I need to be on the short bus? Please,
you are definitely a special
case,
Denise.
Oh, no.
Well, okay, so the whole thing is, when you have a service-based business, it's very easy to get pulled in to all kinds of fires and you know, you're the salesperson, you're the everything. And so what happens, here's a great thing. You know, we're talking about hiring really good contractors. We're talking about how to create an A-team. And the whole shift for most of us is to look at, where are the breakdowns in between where I'm at now and where I ultimately want to be? And I'll tell you, with beyond a shadow of a doubt, the single greatest reason why people backslide is because they are not working with a mentor or a coach that will hold the goal and the outcome for them and help them course correct when they get off track. That is the single greatest reason why anybody backslides, is because they're trying to do it on their own, and they're getting sucked into their own habits, and they tend to backslide that way because we're left to our own devices. The second greatest reason why I think this happens a lot for service-based business owners is because we become the service. You know, in a product-oriented business where the product is the primary income generator, it makes sense because we don't actually go make the product usually. Sometimes people do, but you don't actually go make the product. You have a manufacturing company to create the product. You are doing all the other things, and it doesn't mean you don't get overwhelmed and backslide, but there's a distinct difference between products and services, and it's really easy for people to get sucked in to being that service provider, which means you will then only do the service, and you forget to do the other things, and or because you're wearing all the hats in your business, you will get some clients on, you'll get the clients going, and then you go, okay, now I need more clients, so you go into the sales role, and then you got to get some, then you get some sales in, and then you think, okay, now how do I get some marketing done? And so it's kind of like a stop-start. And one of the things I teach people when I teach the Build Your Dream Team program, and by the way, I'm taking a swipe at this, kind of a generic, there's always our own individual stance on this, but we oftentimes become the bottleneck. And we've talked about
that before, you and I.
Yes, we have a fear of really letting go. And or we don't have the team that inspires the confidence to let us go. And so there's some real nuances and some what we might call a shift that many of us have to go through from being the doer to being the manager of projects, people, and activities to being the leader. And one of the reasons why I teach the Build Your Dream Team is because when people get stuck in the doing, they limit their income. When they get stuck in the managing, they get stressed, overwhelmed, and frustrated, and they get really resentful of their business because most of us do not want to be managers. And when we learn how to really lead and create the team and all the structures that we need to free us up to do the things we were born to do the things that bring the greatest impact to our bottom line, then we have a significant shift in our results.
I know, and I know exactly what you're talking about, and I think it's so important to be able to make that shift, and I guess that's why I keep going back and forth. Here's the thing, as many of us who are entrepreneurs, if we didn't start out as a straight-running workaholic, we quickly become one. I mean, it's almost mandatory, isn't it? And then all of a sudden we do exactly what you did. We're like, oh my gosh, I'm getting 4 hours of sleep a night. My back hurts. I'm not seeing the kind of income that really supports these kind of hours. But I think I'm doing everything right. And then you realize that you have to find a better way. So that, when does that shift come? And when do you stand back and just say, look, my business is good, but it's not sustainable. I can't sell it. You know, it's not a business that could be sold on the open market. What do I do now? Where do I go? What are the next steps? So that leads me
to what
we're talking about, building your dream team. So I would love for you to just jump in and go, and I will try not to interrupt.
That's okay.
I'll try. Try is the operative word.
Well, and again, you know, I'll try and get right to the when do you know? When do you know? I look at this as like what's the catalyst? What's the starting point? So, you know, for many of us, it's the overwhelm. The overwhelm has become too much. For some of us, it's a clear decision of what it is that you do want. And it's interesting, I was having a conversation with my coaching group the other day, and you know, this woman was in some frustration and some pain, and she had a lot of, you know, disappointment happening. And I said, how much time do you spend focusing on what's not working, and how much time are you focusing on where you want to be? And there was a lot of silence. And I think what happens is we spend a lot of time trying to fix problems and make what we have work better instead of getting really clear that there is another level of our success that it's time to tap into and saying, I will have that, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get from where I am to where I want to be. And I said earlier there was two mindset shifts. The second mind shift that I had was the commitment and the decision that I made that I would have time freedom in my life. And this is why this is so critical, because at the moment you decide you will have time freedom in your life, you will have a lifestyle, you will have to re-engineer your business, you will have to hire the right kind of team, you will have to have the right kind of systems and the right kind of structures to achieve that. And what happens for so many people is we just put up with what we have and try to make these incremental adjustments that don't take us anywhere important. So the catalyst is you have to decide that there is something that you want more than what you're putting up with right now. And for me, it was, I'm not traveling. I'm not doing anything I wanted to do when I started my business. I don't have any freedom to spend any time with the people I enjoy. I don't have any time to pursue hobbies. I mean, I was already working a seven-day week when I worked for my Fortune 500 company, and here I am doing it again. What happened? So, you know, the starting point for creating a team or even deciding to hire someone to help you, you might not want to call it a team, but just getting help, is that you realize that you cannot achieve more income, You cannot achieve more goals, and you are literally stuck where you are right now in income and achievement because you can't get any more done. And it may be because you're not willing to work anymore, and congratulations, but where you are isn't enough. Or it could be that you have, like, maxed out your revenue and you desperately or deeply desire to achieve more financially. And so I call this expanding your bandwidth. We begin to expand your bandwidth the minute that you get that someone else could help you, or a few people, or maybe even a team, can help you achieve more faster. But I want to be really clear that it's not enough just to hire a team. It's not enough just to throw money at hiring a VA or getting a contractor or going to Craigslist or wherever to your local paper and, you know, hiring someone to fill a gap. That is a massive mistake that entrepreneurs make, Denise, and I'm sure you've seen people make those yourself.
I'm not sure. I haven't made one or two of them my own self. I'm not admitting that, but I'm just thinking I might have done it.
Right? No. But, you know, you would be normal if you made that mistake, because people hire based on the way they make friends and date.
Oh.
Did you know that?
I'm in deep, deep trouble then. No. Oh, shoot, that's a whole nother conversation.
Well.
No, I didn't know that, and I would love for you to expand on that.
Yeah. We hire based on our instinctual approach to bonding with people. And here's what happens. I call them, there's three massive mistakes that entrepreneurs make because they don't know any better. And by the way, this is not because you're not smart and you're not capable. It's because you weren't taught to do it differently. And we're going with our instincts and our, you know, we weren't born as great hirers. You know, we were born for the craft that we had. And when I help people around this and I teach them this whole process in the Build Your Dream Team, the light bulbs go off and people are like, oh my God, now I know why I've been making all these mistakes. Well, the first one is that we do what I call the first date marriage. And part of this happens.
I'm just going to go throw up in a corner right now.
By the way,
I'm going to be sick.
For the challenge that I present to you, there is always a solution, and it's a very simple solution. So the good news is that if you're making one of these mistakes, you're going to now know what to do differently. So when we go out and we hire someone that makes us feel good, so it goes something like this. You know you need some help. You're feeling really desperate. You don't have a lot of time to deal with this. You know you've got to get this handled. So you've either decided because you heard me or someone else say, you need to hire someone, and you go, okay, I'm going to hire someone. You just run around, you get a bunch of people that you think could be a fit, and the first person you talk to, you go, oh, my God, they get me. And this person's probably really good at presenting themselves well, so they really share all the things that they believe are possible, and they share all of their vision, and they, you know, they get you because they're really good at presenting themselves and selling themselves to people. And you think, oh, my God, this is perfect. Everything in you is doing a happy dance, and so you hire them. Now, I will grant it that 1%, maybe 2% of the time, this can work. There are times when it just works, especially if you don't have a lot of expectations and you have low-level needs. But if you're like most entrepreneurs and you're running at the speed of light, you have just hired someone that is going to make a good friend, but not necessarily a good hire for your company. And here's why. We hire people that are like us. We don't need anyone like us. We're not hiring mini-me's. We are hiring someone who will complement us to do the things we're not good at or are not, you know, they're not our strength, or we resist them and we put them off completely. We need someone to do the things we're not good at. Now, granted, once in a while you may get to a point where you're looking for someone that can be an extension of your strengths, but either way, hiring the first person that rocks your world is like marrying the first person you go on a date with that makes you happy. Mm-hmm. You haven't cultivated enough background, and you haven't dated enough potential candidates to know if this is the best fit. So I teach a method called the best fit method. Like, how do you find the person who's the best fit? And there's several steps in it that, you know, I document and map out for everybody, but one of the keys is you've got to interview at least three people. And what that does is that helps you cultivate a discernment rather than just a leap into this faith. And here's why I say this is so important is over the years of working with entrepreneurs, 90% of the entrepreneurs I work with, me included, have done that hiring methodology. And within 6 to 12 weeks, are very frustrated with that person because they didn't do enough extensive research and understanding of their talents, their fit for their work style, and their level of ownership. And so you will have an expectation
mismatch. That's important.
Yes.
Their level of ownership. Can you expand? I know what you're talking about, but for our audience, can you expand on that a bit?
Yes. So one of the second mistakes that people make, and again, this is really normal, I've done it a million times, is we hire someone hoping they will liberate us from the task or the role, but because we're either money focused or we do that first date hire, then we hire someone who is task oriented. And here's the difference. The difference between a task-oriented person and someone who can take ownership has to do with the level of competency, expertise, and the ability they have to fully organize themselves into a role. It has to do with their time availability. It has to do with their understanding and their ability to be a results-oriented person. See, the biggest difference between a owner of a role and a task-oriented person is a task person takes the task you assign to them, and they do only the task, and then they move on to the next thing. It's not, doesn't make them bad or wrong. It's the way they're wired. We need task-oriented people, but if you hire that person expecting them to take full ownership and to really liberate you, you are going to be sorely disappointed because they're incapable of thinking things through and looking at the big picture and reverse engineering what it's going to take to achieve the goal. They just do what you tell them to. So there's two big reasons why this is hard for most entrepreneurs. First of all, if you're working under a budget, which with many of us are, then you hire this person because they usually will charge a lower rate, and you will hope that they're just going to eventually get it and do it. But they keep coming back to you for every single decision, for every single role, for every single next step. And you're like, can't you just figure it out? Can't you just, like, why are you making these mistakes? That's because you didn't spell it out for them. And they don't know how to sort it out on their own. That's not the way their brain works.
It's not instinctive for a lot of people. I do notice that.
Yes.
I have one web developer on my team that is absolutely, technically she is flawless. But that's it.
Yes.
You know, she will perform the task. She will do it brilliantly. She will not ask questions. She will not see the big picture. But I've learned that, so I've learned to work around it. But at first I had that, you got to be kidding me. You can't see where this is going. I mean, where's your creativity? She apparently has none.
Yeah.
But she is technically brilliant, so I keep her very busy. But I don't expect her to see the big picture.
Exactly. And how you delegate to that person is vastly different than how you delegate to someone who's ownership-oriented. And if
Very
you delegate
much.
The same way, you're going to make one of those two people really mad and frustrated. And that leads me to the third mistake, and I'll stop with this one. There's actually a couple more that I go deeper into in my Entrepreneur's Secret Weapon training, but I think this is really helpful, and that is you have to know that how you delegate is mistake number three. Here's what most entrepreneurs do. You're so excited that you have this person in this role, and you think in a very deep, unconscious way, you're doing this massive happy dance. You're like, woohoo, I can let this go. I don't have to figure this out anymore. So you put the person in the role, and then you bail.
Right.
And you don't train them on anything. You don't actually give them access to any of the materials. You literally expect them to figure it out by osmosis. And I'm not saying that is everybody. Some people do a little bit of training, but deep down inside, what I have found is that over 75% of entrepreneurs do the dump and run method of delegation.
Oh, wow.
And they don't understand that they are not giving enough information in the training and or in the actual handing over of tasks, projects, and roles. So the person on the other end doesn't know how to meet your expectations because you haven't fully explained them. And I have learned this myself because in the very early days of delegating, see, when I worked for the Fortune 500 company, it was easy. Everything was already spelled out by our sales team. You know, we had these massive lists of what had to be done. But when it came to me, I realized, I am handing these tasks off and they are not coming back the way I want them. Or there's a million questions coming back. What's the deal? And I realized in our desire to get more done quickly, we actually don't communicate well our expectations. We leave things off. And I teach this thing called the on-time results model. And inside the on-time results model, there's three core things. I go into it much deeper in the Build Your Dream Team program, but for the sake of today's conversation, I'll just give you the high notes. Mm-hmm. You've got to be clear on the details, what exactly you need done. You've got to be clear on the time frame in which it has to be done. And it has to be, you have to detail out what resources in terms of budget and or other resources that are available for the person to use. And we don't do that. We might say, hey, can you book a ticket for me to go to XYZ? Or, hey, I need you to help me get this website up. And it's called, Jumpstart Your Business. And I'm going to sell it for $1,000. And, okay, let me know when you're done. And they're like, where's all the stuff? Like, what's the URL? Like, when do you need it? They're just, like, flailing. And
listen,
then
that
we
is
get
not
frustrated
uncommon.
They, yeah.
That
they
is
get
not when clients approach you. Yeah. And if you don't have those expectations on both sides set up properly to start with, oh, my gosh. You know, it's a mess. And that's, you know, I have documentation that I send to website clients and say, this is what we need. This is everything we need, and this is the time frame. And, I have them work on it because I don't read minds. I mean, I have a fair idea of what they want, but I don't know all of it. So when clients come to you, and I'm talking to the VA community here, and they have this great idea, and it sounds wonderful, but they're not giving you specifics, you've got to stop in your tracks and get those specifics.
I agree.
Okay, so that was my last interruption. I'm sorry.
No, please. I enjoy it. And, you know, I think one of the key things is all about expectations and really understanding I think also, you know, if you were in a Fortune 500 company and you were hiring, you would know that there's a very specific protocol. You know, most of the time, you know, people are trained on how to hire and, you know, there's someone who's in that role. But as an entrepreneur, this is us. And if you've not learned how to do it before and you don't have experience and you're trying to hire, there's a lot of pieces to figure out on your own. And, A, it might feel scary if you're trying to sort it out on your own. And, B, you might actually feel like, wow, like, does this make sense? It feels like a lot of work. Well, what I have noticed is if I learn how to do it right the first time and I use the system over and over and over again, then I'm guaranteed a predictable result. It's when I try to figure things out on my own that they're scary and overwhelming and frustrating and I don't know what to do, then I either resist or I make the mistakes. And making a mistake, hiring someone, is very costly. It's said that the cost to a small business owner or entrepreneur is somewhere between $10,000 and $50,000 to hire the wrong person.
Oh, ow. And if you let me and have a big team, oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's your time for training them.
Right.
If you got to let them go, that time's out the window. If they make a mistake, that time, you know, that you eat the cost of that, and usually that mistake means it's going to translate to our clients, and it also has to do with whatever money you spent to hire them in the first place. So there's a lot of reasons to learn to do this right. And one of the things about getting it right is the difference, knowing, like, the right person to hire for the right role. And first of all, one of the things I do in the Build Your Dream Team process is that we've got to figure out what are the right roles to get someone else to fill for you, because it's not one size fits all, and there are profit generating activities that you can hire for, and there are time freeing activities you can hire for, and knowing which one you need to do now is really key. So you have to understand which one is it right to do now. And then the second thing you have to understand is what kind of team are you building or what kind of person are you looking for? Are you looking for someone who can work in a virtual environment, or are you working for someone to come, looking for someone to come in and work inside you, your local environment? And there's pros and cons to both. And, you know, with the advent of the virtual workforce, a lot of people are turning to virtual assistants and virtual contractors, overseas outsourcing firms. I mean, honestly, there's actually no one that lives in my hometown right now. They are all virtual. I have someone in Colorado. I have someone in Baltimore, or no, Maryland, and I have someone in Canada. And I have, I've got someone up north in Northern California, and I am actually evaluating a candidate right now who lives here in L.A. for the first time in years, because there's a role that's expanding that I need to have someone we can work in person and do local events together. And so knowing when it has to be virtual versus when you want an employee is a really important part of the decision-making process. So those are some of the little nuances that we need to look at as well.
So where can people find information about this program? And this is a new program that you've created, right?
Actually, I've been teaching this program for almost 10 years. But what I did in the beginning was I focused this 100% on the virtual side. And then I decided that it was time to bring in more about teaching people how to make that shift out of managing to leading. And I also knew it was time to upgrade a lot of the materials and upgrade a lot of the trainings and bring in the part about hiring employees. Because sometimes it's not virtual, or sometimes it's a virtual person who's going to be full-time on your business, and sometimes it's you need someone who really can come in and work inside your office or be more of an employee that's dedicated. By the way, if we do we still have some time here, Denise? I want to talk about a couple more things if we do.
We have about 20 minutes, so
okay,
please
great. Okay, so first of all, if you're, you know, I want you to hear some more of the tips. But if you're to answer your question, Denise, if you go to builddreamteam.com, that's where the program is mapped out. And also, if you look at the top and you're interested in my free preview program, you can see that there as well. It says preview training. So one of the distinctions for virtual versus actual teams is getting clear about the level of dedication you need to your business. So here's one of the other really important pieces we have to look at, is do we need someone who's dedicated to you because you're going to, like, in the middle of the night come up with something and you need that person to do it tomorrow? Or do you have a little bit of tasks and activities that someone can fit inside their day-to-day, you know, management of clients when it fits for them? See, many virtual assistants, and some of them are looking for more dedicated employees, and some of them are managing multiple clients. And you have to get, am I looking at 5 hours a month, 5 hours a week, 5 hours a day? Am I looking at a 40-hour work week dedicated to me all the time, or do I just have a little bit? And that one question will be a massive distinguisher between what you hire. Here's one other mistake people make. They go out and get a virtual assistant to help them grow their business, and then they're disappointed when they're not there 8 hours a day waiting for them to pick up the phone and call them with the next task.
I know.
Most virtual assistants have multiple clients they're serving, and they're blocking out time for that client. And they serve that client, you know, either a couple days a week or at certain times during the day. So you have to be clear what model is right for you, so you hire the right person, so you're not both frustrated with each other because your expectations don't match what they're capable of delivering to you, and vice versa. You know, one of the, because I work with a lot of virtual assistants and online business managers and people who are growing their own teams, you also have to find out, is this person capable of bringing a team to the table, or is it just them? And they're going to work with other people on your team. So there's a lot of little things to figure out about what type of person you're hiring. Another thing that I think is really worth bringing up is a complaint, a really common complaint that comes up over and over and over again. Denise, can you, do you think you might know what it is based on your years of experience?
I think
and
I do.
Well, think about it from the entrepreneur side, or maybe when you're hiring. What is the biggest frustration that entrepreneurs experience when they hire other people?
Honestly, I think it's because you always feel like you can do it better.
Yes. So the biggest complaint I hear from the clients I work with is, why would I hire some, or I've hired someone and I can't get them to do it the way I want?
I know. I'm guilty of that, or I used to be. I have really learned to stop and breathe and say, okay, they're not you. And yes, you're doing it your way, but now you need to train them to do it your way or closely approximating your way. They don't know until you teach them to do it.
So here's the fundamental breakdown, is that we, in our mindset, expect people to be perfect. And, you know, here's the truth.
Isn't that irrational?
Yeah. Well, if you're honest with yourself, you make as many or more mistakes than your team ever will. It's just that when they make the mistake, it's really easy to get frustrated and blame someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've learned is that if you really step into being a leader, you will discover that you have one goal when you hire, and that is to train and create the environment that they can succeed in. The single greatest reason why other people don't perform is because you blew it. You either hired the wrong person and put the wrong expectations, you threw them into a role without proper training and documentation and systems for them to succeed, and then you're frustrated when they make a mistake because it's not clear to them, or you've left someone in a role too long and they have you have outgrown them or they have outgrown you. And all
mm-hmm.
three of those...
I'm guilty of that.
Yeah, we all are. But
yeah.
Here's the thing. Like, what we tell ourselves is, this person's screwing up. Oh, my gosh, Denise, I watched the best show the other day, and I was dying because this guy was doing this. There's a show called The Prophet on CNBC now, and he was doing this episode at a company called LA Dog Works, which is a company here in Los Angeles that has dog training and boarding and grooming. And he comes in and he evaluates these businesses, decides if he can make money with the business, and he tries to buy into the business. And so he basically tells this guy, I will buy your business. I will increase your revenues like 10 times, but the deal is you have to stop being involved with the team. Because he was destroying the team because he kept basically beating them up because they weren't doing it his way. But he wasn't training them. He wasn't leading them, and all he did was run around and beat them up because they weren't doing it the way he would do it. So the key is, first of all, you got to be willing to let go and let people do what they do best. You hired them because they were talented, hopefully, and you got to let go of your way, and if it gets the result, then great. The second thing is you've got to be willing to build the systems, and you don't have to do it yourself. You know, again, I give people tons of systems when they're in the Build Your Dream team. You can also get your team to build them as you go. But you've got to know, you've got to have a process of moving what's in your head and the way you do it and getting other people to document that and training them so they can succeed. And the third thing is you've got to lead. You can't expect other people to succeed on your behalf if you're not being a leader that they can follow and respect. So
and
I think
Melanie,
that's a
you're
pretty
saying,
big...
Yeah. It is. It's huge. You're saying something, you said it several times, and it keeps just kind of reaching out and grabbing me. And that is the word succeed. You really want your team to be in an environment where they can succeed, and not just for you, but because if they feel better on their own, they're much more liable to step out off that ledge and say, yeah, hey, Denise, or hey, Melanie, I just had a thought. What do you think of this? But if they're not in that success environment where you're not their cheerleader and their trainer, they're unlikely to really want to help you beyond doing what needs to be done and getting their paycheck.
Well, again, it has to do with what level of enthusiasm, inspiration, and drive do they have for your business. And, again, going back to the business model that the person has, if they're a multi-VA company, and you have someone who is, their whole goal is growing their business, you may, like, you're really good at this, but a lot of people aren't. Do they have the bandwidth to commit to you and your success. They may be very good at getting the task done, but you'll need to negotiate, will you have the ability to help me with strategy and direction? Now, I want to say you are probably one of the best at this, and what I've noticed in the way people run teams. You are very good at cluing into strategy and getting people to the results, and then having your team come behind you and deliver. Like, I think you guys are brilliant at that. But I have noticed a lot of people who don't have that bandwidth. So, and or that's not the way they're wired. So you need to be clear what level of availability and what are they able to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
So that your expectations and their expectations are on the same path. The other thing I've noticed is that if you've got someone who has a lot of ideas, but you don't create space for that, like you were saying, they'll never surface the ideas.
And that's frightening to me because, I mean, you're right. We hire these people for a reason. They come with their own brilliance. They may be a worker bee, and we have several of those on my team, and they're brilliant at what they do. They're task-oriented, and I know that, so I don't task them with anything that's going to require them, you know, to kind of step out of their comfort zone. And then I've got other people who I will literally pick up the phone and go, you know what, I just had a brain freeze, and we will brainstorm, and I walk away going, I'll be darned, that was brilliant. So, you know, you have to identify these people on your team and use them as best as you can and help them succeed. You're absolutely right. And I love that you keep saying, you know, help them succeed. I love that.
Yeah. You know, I think it'd be really valuable if we kind of wrap up with some do's and don'ts. You know, like, and you asked earlier, what's the catalyst for building a team? Well, here's some of the reasons why you should hire a team. You are totally tapped out and you can't get any more done. But you know there's more that you need to do, or you have opportunities coming your way, and you're actually having to say no to really juicy, lucrative opportunities because you don't have the time.
Yeah.
Or you don't even know they're coming at you because you don't have the bandwidth to check your email properly, and you're missing out on stuff. Like, I can't tell you how many entrepreneurs I get frustrated with because we'll send them an email, and I'll never hear back from them. Or I'll hear back from them weeks later, oh, my God, I'm sorry I was behind on email. They're under-resourced. Two, that's the second sign. You are under-resourced. You have not enough people to help you achieve the goal that you have in mind. So you're working way too many hours. If you do have someone on your team, they probably are working way too many hours, and you're afraid to expand because you don't think you can afford it, or you don't think that you can, you don't know how to hire, or you haven't recognized yet that you're too lean in order to pull off the next level. And one of the signs you're too lean and you're under-resourced is your customers are not having a great experience. Quick story, and this company is very open about this. I had a partnership hire me a few years back, and they actually just did a great video interview on my podcast series. Their names Callan and Rush and Justin Livingston. One of the things that was happening is they weren't necessarily dropping customer balls, but because they were so customer-focused, they were dropping all kinds of other balls. And they were growing so fast that they couldn't keep up, and they were working 7 days a week, 8 to 10 to 12-hour days, and there was no breaks. And Callan self-admits that she was really overwhelmed. She was getting sick. She was exhausted. And, you know, they were making six figures, but the cost was really significant because it was just them. And when they met me, they hired me to put them through the Build Your Dream Team process. And, you know, they share in the interview how significant that has been for them. And now they're getting into six-figure months instead of six-figure years. And it all had to do with them learning how to build their team properly and really being willing to let go and recognize they were way under-resourced for the level of growth they had. So that's another sign that you need to really look at what is getting your attention right now. It's not just marketing. You have to actually expand your bandwidth through other people at a certain point in your journey. And I would say another sign that it's time to expand is that you have a particular goal or dream, something that you know you want to accomplish, but you don't know how. So you're holding back, or you're thinking, oh, I got to get all this training, I got to learn how to do it. Well, I oftentimes tell people, like, what if you hired someone that was their specialty, and you gave them ownership of that part of it, and you do the part that you do? Could you get there faster if you didn't try to figure it all out on your own? So another sign is that you've got a goal or dream that you want, but you don't know how to do it, and you can hire someone who knows how to do it. So this spans everything, like getting your website up. It might be, you know, cutting things over to a new operational system. It could be maybe you're ready to start doing events. It could be that you have a new product line you want to put out. Don't try to figure it out on your own. Get there faster and cheaper because you hire someone to shortcut your path to getting the goal done and making money with this new idea.
Right.
Now,
or sometimes you don't get there at all because you're so overwhelmed that you just shelve
right?
it. And that's a shame.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. And that's the you don't have the bandwidth for opportunities, so they're just sitting there and they're not getting your attention. And then one last thing, and there's a more advanced type of team that I oftentimes will help my clients build, and that's what I call the subcontractor team or a team of people who can start to replicate you. At a certain point in everybody's journey, if you want to continue to grow, it might make sense to have your support team, but then you might have a team of people who do what you do, and this is where you start to offboard the sales that you have been doing. You might offboard the marketing direction. It might be that you're offboarding the actual talent you have, and you're going to train and systemize how other people can deliver what you do. So that's kind of more advanced team, but that is a stage that many people will look at. And again, one of the signs you're ready for that is that you have new markets you want to go into, or you have way too many customers and clients and sales to keep up with. You have leads that you never get followed up with, and that's a sign that there's some things that you could put into place to expand your bandwidth through replicating what you do instead of just getting things off your plate that only you can do.
Right. So Melanie, how long did it take for this idea to come to you? Because I know it's an offshoot of another program that you've honed and, you know, created more expertise as time goes on. We're going back to catalyst because I know that's one of your favorite words, and I love that word. What prompted you to do this for the virtual, I'm going to say the virtual service provider community? I mean, what need did you see that you just went, oh, somebody has got to address this now?
Good question. So I guess it was probably 10 or 11 years ago, when I was teaching primarily the Get Out of Overwhelm techniques, and I was being brought into a lot of events and other people's coaching programs who taught marketing and other types of business growth strategies. And what I noticed is people had piles of stuff to do, long should lists, and nothing was getting done. And people kept saying, well, hire a virtual assistant. And it wasn't working because they either wouldn't hire the assistant or they didn't know how, and they were making those costly mistakes. And I had a few people who said, hey, Melanie, can you teach me how to build a team? And I was doing it one-on-one. And, you know, hiring me in a one-on-one capacity is somewhere between $7,500 to $25,000 right now.
Right.
And that's not necessarily in everybody's bank account, although it's a great investment, and everybody would say that their investment will pay off in spades. It isn't necessarily something everybody's ready to do. And some people just want help learning to build their dream team. So I created a specialized program that's a 10-week program where I guide people step-by-step through every single thing that they need to know how to do, from figuring out what activities need to get handled and what activities they should be focusing on and what other people could do better, faster, or cheaper than them to free them up, all the way through how to pay for the team, how to hire the team. As a matter of fact, I give specific systems for hiring. I give you a step-by-step plan of what to do, what to ask, you know, how to evaluate your different different candidates, and then through the training, and then through how to manage and lead them. And, of course, I want to move you through that managing phase very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's really great tools and techniques out there to, you know, manage people without it sucking the life out of you and feeling like you're overwhelmed all the time. And, you know, give you all the systems and all the resources that I've developed over the years to make that process more simple throughout the process. So I found that it shortcutted my clients' time to teach it in this manner. So instead of having to spend $25,000 to do it, they could do it, you know, with an investment of some, you know, $3,000 and get all the support they needed, all the access to me as their coach, all the access to go through this process step by step. And it was a really great return on investment because if you think about it, if you hire one person and they free you up, and you can catapult to the next level, then now you are at a place where you can leap forward rather than just incrementally crawl. And instead of, you know, suffering and struggling and making $5,000, $10,000, $50,000 mistakes, now you've got a system to hire the right people every single time you hire someone.
And I'm looking at your website now. I'm really kind of amazed by everything that you're going to be covering on this thing. So please tell people where they can find it. And this is not a sales call. It's not. But I know you. I've taken your programs before. And I want people to go look at this. So tell people where they can find this particular program.
It's builddreamteam.com. And again, you know, if you just want to check it out and you want to, you know this is for you, that's where you go to register and save a seat. But if you want to check it out and you want to experience me and, you know, go a little bit deeper with this, I have a free class that I'm teaching called The Entrepreneur's Secret Weapon. And if you go to the top right, it says free preview training. You can jump in there and experience this and go deeper with me, and I'll take what we've talked about today to a whole nother level and give you a lot more specific steps and strategies to free up your time and get 10 times more done.
Yeah, I'm looking at that too. So I'm just all over the map today with your website. Before we go,
I was just going to say thank you for having me today.
Oh, anytime. At the top of the show, we talked a little bit about one of your programs that I took, a year or two ago, I think, called Money DNA.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to tell you, Melanie, that thing really changed my relationship with money.
Hmm.
You know, I've always had a kind of a loosey-goosey relationship with money. It's like, easy come, easy go. Guess what? Not so much now. So I really thank you for that. But are you still teaching the Money DNA
uh-huh.
program? And if
yep.
you are, where can people find that?
Yeah, it's money-dna.com, and I teach it live once a year, and it's always available for people to enroll and get the home study materials anytime they want. And thank you for that feedback. It's, I feel really proud of the programs we create here. I always get such tremendous feedback from people. And, my big goal is to give entrepreneurs and small business owners the tools they need to be more successful.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's working directly with me or going through one of these training programs and self-guided experiences that will allow you to have a breakthrough, to learn a better approach, to get the right strategies, to get the right results at the right time. And, getting our mindset prepared for significant success and having the impact we want. Like I said before, if you don't have the right mindset, all the strategies in the world won't perform properly.
And that is so, so true. We've got a couple minutes, so I need to kind of share with you, excuse me, what the whole DNA thing, the Money DNA, did for me. I printed everything out. I followed all the instructions. And then I resisted it. It was the craziest thing. I'd paid for this program, but there was some element of resistance or fear. And one day, I looked at the stack of papers that was sitting on my desk and went, I'm done. I shut everything down. It was a work day. Excuse me, I'm raspy for some reason. And I went outside. It was a beautiful day, which doesn't happen often in the deep south. You can't go outside without your paper curling. I mean, or your hair curling. It's just so humid. And this just happened to be one of those perfect days where there's a little breeze. It was dry enough that I didn't feel like I was going to drown. And I took a cup of coffee and I went out and I sat at my bistro table outside with this, it's a pretty thick stack of paper when you print it out. And I went through that workbook and, I thought, I'll take a half hour and do this. 4 hours later, because I was freehand writing, I refused to do it on on my computer. I actually wanted to actually write it down. 4 hours later, I lifted my head and went, I'll be darned. I'll just be darned. I didn't know. You don't know what you don't know.
That's
so
great.
I thank you for that program. It was phenomenal for me.
Thank you. I'm really glad. And again, it's all about being willing to do the inner work that will help you have the right focus
mm-hmm.
and the right attitude and, be able to make the choices to focus on the right things in your day-to-day business. And I love that you had such a great result. So thank you for sharing that with me.
Well, I did, and it really, I have to admit, it surprised me to go that deep into you know, why I always had this kind of, yeah, easy come, easy go attitude. I mean, I've always been able to make plenty of money, but I've always spent plenty of money, too, or worse than that, just kind of throwing it out the window. And I thought, why in the world am I doing that? And I figured out why. And then I went, really? So, well, that was just stupid. But I didn't beat myself up over it. I just went, okay, identified, now course correct. And I did. And I continue to do so because now I will stop and say, do I really need that program? Or do I need this particular training right now? Or do I need 150,000 channels on my cable? You know, things like that. I'm making much, much wiser decisions about money, which, you know, translates into how I can now pay my team. I mean, it works all the way across the board. So I do thank you. But anyway, we're out of time. I cannot believe this hour went so fast. And I'd love to have you come back again. You know you're one of my favorite guests.
Aw, thank you. I love being here. And, you know, I would love it if wherever we post the show, like, share with me one aha or tip. Or if you want to come over to my fan page, or my fan page, it's not called fan page, our business page on Facebook. It's at, you know, facebook.com/MelCoach. I'd love to hear, like, what's an aha, an insight, a tip, something that really landed for you today. I love hearing your feedback. And, you know, if I get to see you in the upcoming training or in the Build Your Dream team, I'd love to connect with you.
Excellent. Melanie, thank you so much for being here today. The audience got some great, greatly valuable information, and I know they appreciate it as much as I do, and I'm looking forward to having you back. Everybody, thank you so much for being here. The show will be available for download in probably about an hour. And you can also find us on iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Melanie Benson-Strick. We are wishing you a fantastic weekend, and I will see you next week. Thank you, Melanie.
All right. Bye, everyone.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.